The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Thank you for the good times. Thank you for your love. Thank you for the joy you've given me. Yeah, yeah. Thank you.
Welcome to Real Recognition Radio, a program designed to promote a positive work environment. Your hosts are Roy Saunderson and S. Max Brown. In this hour, you will be motivated to motivate, increase morale, productivity, loyalty, and reduce turnover. Learn how some companies get it while others don't. Now, here are your hosts, Roy and Max.
Welcome to Real Recognition Radio, the show that's all about creating a better workplace and developing positive relationships where people can thrive. My name is Max Brown, along with my colleague Roy Saunderson.
Good to be with you.
And we're both from the Recognition Management Institute. And Roy, today I am very, very excited to say that we have some wonderful and amazing guests on the show today, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. We're grateful for them.
Yes. In fact, today on the line we have Governor Arnie Carlson and Kevin Cronin, President of the Recognition Professionals International Association. Let me introduce both of them briefly here. Arnie Carlson is the former governor of Minnesota. He currently serves as the chairman emeritus of RiverSource Funds. And in March of 2007, he was named the industry's outstanding mutual fund director. As governor from 1990 to 1999, Mr. Carlson consistently advocated policies that created quality job opportunities for Minnesotans and has received numerous recognition awards for his dedication to improving Minnesota's quality of life. Kevin Cronin, as I mentioned, is a recognition and reward consultant and currently president and on the board of Recognition Professionals International, a nonprofit association of executives focused on recognition, innovations, and education to enhance organizational performance and employee engagement in the workplace. Previously, Mr. Cronin was on the recognition and reward executive, and he was a reward executive for the Bank of America, where he led the successful design, implementation, and delivery and management of recognition and reward programs globally for 200,000 plus associates. So thank you both very much for taking the time today to be on our show.
Delighted. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. I think that to just get involved here right off the bat, if each of you would just take a moment, give us some details around your background and involvement with rewards and recognition. And Governor, if we can start with you, and then Kevin, you can follow after that.
Well, mine started when I was asked if I would serve on the board of RIDO, and that was really my first brush, if you will, with this organized concept of recognition. And the more I learned about it, the more obviously in love I am with it because, well, it's so fundamental to everything in life.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
People work not just to make money, but they work to be able to contribute something. And the only way that they can realize that they've made a contribution if somebody recognizes it and said, you know, I'm so delighted you did that.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't care if it's a formal or informal, but recognition is the heart, really, of human endeavor. So I'm just delighted to be a part of it.
Wow, that's fantastic. Kevin, how about yourself?
Well, I originally was a psychology major in college, so I was very interested in the study of human behavior. And then my first job out of college was with Bank America, and used to be a branch manager. So the importance of, you know, being a leader and having recognition programs, I learned to appreciate early on from being a frontline supervisor. And then especially as I was managing a group of branches and about 500 employees, really learning the importance of motivating and seeing how the small thank yous you may give someone, how much it meant to them. So it became very much a part of my management routine. And I was lucky enough to have a manager I worked for who really instilled that in me and taught me the importance of how to deliver recognition and how to make it more meaningful. And then I had the opportunity to move from that role to really help influence the bank strategy and help develop our programs and became very passionate about it, and that's what I've really done for the last 12 years.
It's interesting because you both touched on the idea here that recognition really does impact people in a meaningful way. I want to get your opinion on how do you think your recognition has evolved over the last, let's say, 10 or 20 years, and where you compare it today. Is it any less relevant today? Is there, you know, some people are actually challenging the notion that we even need recognition in the workplace, interestingly to me. I'd like to get your opinion from both of you there on that as well. Kevin, let's start with you, and then we'll go to the governor.
I think when you look at recognition, say, from 20 years ago, people immediately thought of service award programs, and that was recognition well enough. And, you know, for a workforce where someone may join a company for a long period of time and did not have any changes in their career, that may have been suitable then. But I think, you know, as our workforce has changed, we've got many different generations entering that workforce. Recognition's had a change to really be a driver and be able to wait to and drive engagement in your employees and your front line. So I think it's become more from long-term to a lot more short-term impact and be a key driver of how you can reward someone for the results you're delivering, but how you can help them understand what your company's about and how they can impact those results.
So you see it as an ongoing thing, and it hasn't changed a lot. It just continues to push the idea that we have to do more of it.
I think, but what has really come about, it went from bigger programs to maybe reward someone for being there for 5 years to realize, hey, you know, immediately when someone joins our company, we need to look at how we onboard them and how we reward them maybe for completing training, for doing in sales performance and their service metrics, et cetera. So I think it's a lever that we've really learned about. Many companies have historically only had, you know, maybe incentive plans that were traditionally cash. And a lot of companies have really understood the benefit of how you can use recognition and reward programs to help drive behaviors as well as results that, you know, may not cost as much as a cash program, and certainly does not take the place of a base pay or a cash incentive, but really helps complement and helps be a tool to enhance performance of your employees.
Okay. I appreciate that. Governor, how about you?
Well, I think if you look at it very broadly, once you got into the industrial age, you really separated the individual from his work product.
Yeah.
And the only substitute is some form of recognition. Under the old arts and crafts economy, when your product was sold directly to a customer, the customer said, gee, I really appreciate what you did, and I'm willing to pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you just screw a few screws into a car, your work product is rather remote. And so there's a greater need, I would argue, for recognition programs and recognition training on the part of all managers more than ever before. And this is particularly true as we go well into the technological and information age, where we're becoming increasingly more impersonal and more people working at home.
Mm-hmm.
The essential question always is, how do I know that I'm doing a good job? That,
yes,
to me, is the heart of recognition. And if you don't have that in the culture, I don't think your company's going to make it.
Governor, it's interesting you say that. A lot of people would challenge to say, why do I need this, though? Why can't my people just figure it out for themselves that they're doing a good job? What would you say to those people?
Well, one, I wouldn't want to make them managers. Because
I want to hear more about that, but
well,
go ahead.
Productivity usually is the result of a team. You're contributing something that you have to the greater good of a larger group. And you don't know how valuable that is unless you're told that it's valuable. Now, in the United States, we tend to say, well, that's reflected in your salary or your bonuses, whatever it may be.
Mm-hmm.
Well, look what happened to Wall Street. And I say that in all negative terms. I mean that sincerely. I think they've lost their moral and ethical compass,
mm-hmm,
because they are so guided by money. It's almost as if money trumps everything. And what I'm getting at here is a culture that is productive, a culture that is oriented to saying thank you to the people who make the ultimate success possible and to a company that guides itself towards the long term. And you can't be successful long term unless you are ethical. Mm-hmm. And so I wouldn't want a manager who doesn't truly understand what recognition and rewards are.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. If you go back, I remember a former secretary, her father literally built a printing business into one of the big giants. And his key to success was he knew everybody in the plant.
Mm-hmm.
And every day he walked the plant. He knew all the machines. He knew everything. But think of how rich he became, not financially, but rich in terms of information.
Mm-hmm.
You need those kinds of managers. You don't want a scene where people work for years and never even see the CEO or never see directors or never see officers of a company.
Yeah.
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 Well, we're getting close to the break, but maybe we can ask Kevin first. When you're now looking to the future, you know, as Governor Carlson is kind of saying, we need to kind of really get to know people. We need to be able to value people's contributions. What do you project as potential trends for recognition? If we just have a couple of minutes for, say, the next 10 or 20 years from now, what are some trends that you're seeing, maybe one to three kind of trends?
I think we're seeing a lot more use of technology as a way to enhance recognition. Certainly, it's not the end-all. We certainly need to have that human element, and as Governor Carlson talked about, making those managers really understand and having them give great recognition experiences to their employees. Mm-hmm. So I think technology could be an enabler there, and certainly is going to be a stronger way to help us do that better and
right.
to make sure we don't forget it. I think another thing, too, is you're going to see a lot more of companies adopting an internal Facebook, if you will, for a way that they can connect their people. We know we have a lot more people that are telecommuting our workforce today, and we've got to get better at how do we make those people feel connected and recognized in a virtual environment.
Right. And that certainly is a great challenge for today's workforce, especially as they are more the virtual employees rather than the physical on-site ones. Good, good. Well, listen, as I kind of wrapping up here, Max, I wonder whether you can just kind of leave with a parting thought, and then we'll go into our next segment.
Sure. I appreciate what we talked about so far in terms of where we might be headed. I want to make sure that people understand that, you know, how are we going to be relevant going forward and making sure that we actually remain relevant for this next generation of employees. And maybe after we come back, we can have that conversation a bit further as well. It's time for us to take a short break. This is Max Brown and Roy Saunderson with our guests, Governor Arnie Carlson and Kevin Cronin. And you're listening to Real Recognition Radio on the Voice America Business Channel. Please stay tuned.
Stocks, bonds, investment opportunities, financial news, and talk. We can help. Call us now toll-free, 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
How do you become one of the best companies to work for? By appreciating people for who they are and recognizing them for what they do. That's real recognition. 82% of employees say that recognition or praise they receive at work motivates them to improve their performance. And companies who recognize their people outperform companies that don't by 30 to 40%. Those are real results. Become one of the best companies to work for. The Recognition Management Institute can help you get the results you need. For more information, visit realrecognition.com. That's realrecognition.com.
Go behind the scenes of what you see, hear, and read on the news. Learn the ins and outs of public relations on Stars of PR with Cindy R. every Thursday at 7 a.m. Pacific Time. Cindy Rakowitz is a Clio Award winner and founder of Rock and Roll Public Relations, who wants to share her PR experiences and knowledge with you. Learn how to handle a crisis, deal with celebrities, and become a terrific PR executive. Listen to the Stars of PR with Cindy R. every Thursday at 7 a.m. Pacific Time here on News Talk Radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You're listening to Real Recognition Radio with Roy Saunderson and S. Max Brown. This is what recognition is all about, getting real results in the workplace through meaningful recognition solutions. Now, let's get back to the program. Here are Roy and Max.
Welcome back to Real Recognition Radio with myself, Roy Saunderson, and my colleague Max Brown, and our guests today, Governor Arne Carlson and Kevin Cronin. Now, just before the break, we were just talking about those future trends, and I'd like to ask yourself, Governor, as you look to the future, what do you project as some potential recognition trends in the next, say, 10 or 20 years from now?
Well, I would argue that the issue of recognition is going to become a part of any agenda involving the CEO and the board of directors. Mm. It has to literally be recognized at top for it to be successful through the organization. And what that means is, how many times do we hear employers say, oh, employees are the greatest asset we have?
Right.
And then when you ask them why, they fumble an answer. In other words, it's because it's an expected response.
Mm.
But the truth is, on boards of directors are going to sit people with skill sets that involve recognition. And we're going to learn very quickly how to measure the success of a good recognition program. Mm-hmm. Because, one, most companies will find themselves increasingly competing in a global society. But what that really means is you're going to have people on your workforce, people working for you, people subcontracting to you, people supplying to you that speak mm-hmm. different languages, come from different cultures, and have a different set of expectations. And it's going to be more and more challenging for a CEO and for top management to keep all of that into one cohesive focus towards some specifically defined goals. And right. I would argue that the glue is going to be recognition, because that translates very well into every single culture on this planet.
Mm, good point.
Everybody wants to feel that they're performing a valuable service.
Mm-hmm.
And I would again reiterate, you can't just measure it in the context of pay.
Mm.
You know, ask any athlete. Why, for instance, does an athlete want to go to the New York Yankees?
Right.
The answer is, I want to be part of the ultimate experience. People gravitate towards excellence. They want to feel that they can compete with the best and the brightest, and they want to participate, and they want their efforts recognized. And recognition is the only thing that gives them a benchmark as to how you're doing.
Yep. Well, I can certainly agree with that. My colleague, Gord Green, would also say that's probably why there was such a great Olympic hockey game between the United States and Canada.
Yeah.
It wasn't just for the money. It was because of going for that whole experience, that ultimate experience, as you describe, and the gold medals that you hope to get.
That's right. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Now, recognition is really at the heart of human nature when you think about it. Every little baby born comes in to be recognized, and if they don't get recognized, they're going to scream and holler until they get recognized.
So is there a difference, though, with the different generations? I mean, we hear that there's, you know, four generations now in the workplace, and that the younger millennials, Gen Y, are more demanding and more expecting. How do we stay connected with them, with all that we're just talking about recognition?
Do you want me to respond, or Kevin?
Any one of you. Maybe either one. Doesn't matter.
All right. I'll be happy to give it a crack. I'll start with a story. It's a very true story. But one of my last dinners at the governor's residence, toward the end of it, this woman sitting next to me said, and I was absolutely stunned that she would say this. She said, you know, my son is very bright, but, you know, he's a real nerd and has absolutely no social skills. What do I do? I've never heard a person say something like that.
Yeah.
And so you're right. There are an increasing number of people coming out without the proper set of so-called social skills. But mm-hmm. I don't care what generation you're from. Ultimately, you have to learn how to work well and play well with other people.
Mm.
We have to always be connected to the human being. Mm-hmm. So companies are going to have to figure out how you can be productive from long distance, but still stay humanly connected. My daughter, for instance, is a bit of an example of that. She's about 26, and she works for a large hospital conglomerate, and she does the websites. So she works at home 2-3 days a week. But the company is very wise. They insist she come in for at least 2 or 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
Part of the reason is social. You want to see who the people are. You want to meet your managers. You want to talk with people. You want to participate in meetings. That's very, very important. So I don't think that skill set's ever going to disappear. And
mm-hmm.
recognition is fundamental to the human animal. I don't care if you're 7 years old or 96. It's still fundamental.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree with you.
Yeah.
Kevin, what have your observations been as you dealt with, over 200-plus associates at Bank of America? What do you see on that generational plane there?
I think one of the biggest differences, when you look at the millennials and the Gen Ys, they're really known as the gaming generation. And
mm-hmm.
you look at the immediate feedback and gratification someone can get from winning the game or losing the game. You know right where you stand and how you're performing against your peers. And even games, you know, can be played with people from around the world as well. So I think that workforce is used to immediate feedback. So
right.
when they're going to be given a project, they're going to expect to be getting different touch points, and they're coming to say, let you know where they are. They're virtually asking for, how am I doing? Okay, am I on track? Am I meeting your expectations? They want you to give them a pat on the back or, you know, a compliment, or it could be a quick email, could be a quick instant messaging message that says, thanks, I appreciate that update. Look forward to your report out next week. So you're setting the expectations when you're going to, you know, get back to them next, the next interval of reinforcement.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, some of the older generations, and myself included here, you know, we're used to be able to take on a project and be independent working because of, you know, the way we were educated, the way we were raised, and not used to, you know, all the immediacy that you get in a technology-enabled world. So I think for a manager, you've got to really be able to balance and understand how do you manage and recognize the workforce, you know, being respectful of who the individuals are, but want to keep a cohesive team. So that can be a little bit of a challenge, but I think it's very important to understand the differences and what motivates and what people like to be able to be recognized, whether it's, you know, a one-on-one conversation, whether it's recognized in a meeting, or whether it's maybe just stopping by and having a casual chat in the hallway at the copying machine.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin, it sounds like what you're saying is that to be a manager, it takes work. And I think that's what the governor was saying earlier too, right? That if you're going to be a good manager, this is going to take some work to do it. But by doing it, you actually get a good payoff. Would you agree with that?
I do. And I think the mistake a lot of corporate America has made is they assume that recognition is something that people just learn how to do. When in fact, I'd say probably about 20% of our managers know how to do it and how to do it right. And I think there's a tremendous opportunity for us to look at the leadership management courses that are taught in most of our companies lack how to do recognition and how to make it more effective and how to make it meaningful. And I think that's a rather basic element, but I think it's one of those things that we're not taught in school, and we need to be interwoven that into all of our leadership supervisory classes to help managers how to role model that and do that more effectively.
Mm-hmm. It's somehow we take it for granted that it should just come easily, but actually this is a skill we should build, isn't it?
Exactly. And it's one that, you know, if you're a taskmaster and you're used to having your, you know, your task and clicking through your list to keep things done, it's one that doesn't come top of mind to often put on there, hey, I need to recognize someone today. You know, current research says that most employees want to hear a positive comment from their manager at least every 7 days. You know, so
right.
if you are one of those taskmasters, maybe add recognition to that list so you do keep it top of mind. Remember that, you know, it's important to walk about, as Governor Carlson talked about, the gentleman that's running the printing shop, to know your employees, you know, to really understand what's going to motivate them so you can have those opportunities and make that learn that skill and practice it.
Okay.
Yeah, Kevin is really raising a very vital point. I mean, it is going to be more and more challenging for a manager because of the enormous diversity of the number of employees that you have, and that diversity is going to increase the more we go global. So training of managers is very, very important. But I also think you've got to hire managers that have a gut feel for people. Some people have great people skills. Others, frankly, don't.
Mm-hmm. Good point.
And, you know, that's just going to be a requirement to move up the ladder.
Mm-hmm.
You need people. I mean, you ask any coach if he wants, let's say in basketball, if he wants the five best players, the answer is always no. I want the players that can work together as a team.
Yeah.
Usually a coach wants no more than two blue chippers. That's enough of an ego problem. You don't need five. No, you really don't. I mean, I don't want to get into too much of sports, but you watch this last NCAA tournament. It was interesting. Both final teams had fabulous teams, but not necessarily the greatest set of individual players.
Wow.
They just knew how to work together.
Good point. So this whole motivation piece is very much in the hand of those managers or coaches to really make that difference. And I know you said earlier, Governor, about how important it is that individuals be told that their performance is valuable.
Yes. Yeah, but,
I think that's where it's a lost art in many ways.
I mean, everybody likes to go home at night and talk to their spouse. How was your day today? What is it you say if there's no recognition and no reward? Oh, just another day? No, you want to say, gee, you know, I got this nice little email from my boss saying, wow, he liked what I did on that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just makes people feel good, and it makes them want to produce more, and it makes you want to work for that kind of organization. I mean, I had a nephew who just about 3 months ago turned down a very good offer from a company that he perceived to be cold and indifferent.
Yeah. Mm.
It wasn't a salary issue. It was the cold. He just couldn't warm up to it.
Yeah.
So something in his gut was telling him, stay away.
Wow. And you know what? We need to listen to all those wonderful signs. And that's this has been a very valuable conversation as we're coming up to our next break. And I certainly want us to pursue a little bit more about what you've personally experienced with recognition as we come back. So we're going to take another quick break. So please join us in a few minutes on Real Recognition Radio as we ask our guests, Governor Arne Carlson and Kevin Cronin, more about perspectives and trends in recognition. For Real Recognition Radio, this is Roy Sonneson and Max Brown.
Up-to-date business and financial news. Call now and get the financial information you need. 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790.
The experts are here.
Voice America Business Network.
How do you become one of the best companies to work for? By appreciating people for who they are and recognizing them for what they do. That's real recognition. 82% of employees say that recognition or praise they receive at work motivates them to improve their performance. And companies who recognize their people outperform companies that don't by 30 to 40%. Those are real results. Become one of the best companies to work for. The Recognition Management Institute can help you get the results you need. For more information, visit realrecognition.com. That's realrecognition.com.
Zoom Leadership.
It's the big picture issues of the day, up close and personal capabilities of leadership, and a desirable future of constant renewal.
Zoom Leadership.
It's the economic crisis made clear, patterns and perspectives of leadership, and the importance of changing the way we pursue our future. Join host John Schmidt every Monday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Pacific Time.
Zoom Leadership.
An inside look at what's really going on in business, government, and civil society. Tune in every week on the Voice America Business Channel.
When it comes to business,
you'll find the experts here.
Voice America Business Network.
You're listening to Real Recognition Radio with Roy Sonderson and S. Max Brown. This is what recognition is all about: getting real results in the workplace through meaningful recognition solutions. Now, let's get back to the program.
Here are Roy and Max.
Welcome back to Real Recognition Radio with Roy Saunderson and Max Brown. And our guests today are, of course, Arnie Carlson and Kevin Cronin. So welcome back to the show, gentlemen. And we're having a wonderful conversation just around, you know, why this is such an imperative, a business imperative that will, quite frankly, differentiate the workplace when you get this right. You know, not unlike yourself, Governor, when in my own life as well, I've had lots of family members that have left companies or moved to another place just because it wasn't the right feel from another place, but more importantly, because they were just so badly treated at the other place. And these are people with good skills, high-quality skills. And interestingly, we know, you know, the people with the best skills are typically the first ones to go try to find some place where they can feel engaged and appreciated.
Sure, because they're the most marketable, and frankly, they've got it together.
Yeah, and life's too short, quite frankly, isn't it? I mean, why try to survive when they can thrive somewhere else?
Right.
Yeah. Well, I want to ask a couple questions from both of you, actually. I want to get one. Could you tell us an experience where you actually had a great recognition experience yourself and what made it so valuable or important to your life? And then we'll get into the next part after that. So, Kevin, why don't we start with you, and then Governor, after that, if you wouldn't mind sharing a story as well.
Thanks, Max. I look back to when I was at Bank of America for 21 years, and one of the best recognition experiences I ever had when I was honored by the bank for what was called the Lend Award. It was a Leadership Excellence in Neighborhood Development, and it was really recognizing leaders across our company who contributed significantly into helping their cities become better places for our communities. And I was honored with that recognition, and not only did you receive a plaque for that, you also received some money you could donate to a charity, but then you were hosted by our CEO to a habitat build, and they brought in the top 250 people that were honored with that. So that was something that has always stuck out on me. And through my career, that's one award I made sure that's always on my desk because it always makes me smile and think of the experience I had for my contribution to my neighborhood.
Hmm. You know, Kevin, I think you touched on something big here, though, and that is that you were reminded of the experience, right? A lot of people talk about rewards and recognition, kind of roll their eyes and think, well, you know, is this just employee of the month, flavor of the month program? Is it going to pass soon? And they get a bit cynical even about programs that might not motivate. And I think it comes down to that we've all experienced recognition that wasn't as effective as other types of recognition. So let's get into that in just a moment. But before we do that, Governor, do you have an experience you can share with us?
Well, one that oddly enough meant the most to me is not the awards or anything else, but I remember coming into the legislature as a very young freshman, and during the session, toward the end of the session, I was asked as a Republican if I would serve on the conference committee of a labor bill. Mm-hmm. And the Democrats controlled both houses. Well, the purpose of a conference committee is to iron out the differences between the two houses. Well, being a freshman, I really worked very hard, tried to understand the Senate position, the House position, and did what I thought was a good job. And I'll never forget, a couple of days later, the Speaker, a Democrat, came over to me and just took me aside and said, "I've heard about the work you did. I want to thank you very much." That really meant a lot to me, because what it told me was that hard work pays off and you don't have to go in and always play partisan games.
Yeah.
It just meant a lot to me, and there were so many good things that flowed from it. I found out years later that one of the reasons labor leaders were willing to support me was because of that.
Wow. Yeah.
And so when I hear these political figures saying, "Oh, they'll send me to Washington, I'm going to go beat up the president," you know, mm-hmm. That's not your role. You know, your role is to represent the best interest of a country or a state or whatever, and the same thing goes in the workplace. You want to pat somebody on the back who works hard and maintains the best interest of the company. And I don't care how the recognition comes, whether it's a trophy or just a little email, they're both vitally important.
So it's a mix of things, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it could just be a comment from a foreman and say, "Hey, Sam, I know you went out of the way on that one, and I want you to know we won't forget. Thanks."
Yeah, yeah.
That's great.
It really is amazing how fundamentally how fundamentally important this is, but it's also a real human connection. And that's what I think, you know, Roy and I have been trying to help people understand, is that recognition doesn't have to be a gimmick. It should not be a manipulative technique. It should really be the sincere connection with another human being.
I agree. That's why when I first got into it, I was disturbed by it. I used to call it the trinket industry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're there for a certain number of years and you get a trinket.
Yep.
No, that's not what it's about. It's the human touch, and one, it should be communicated by a manager to his team. But the other part is a formal recognition. I think Kevin has covered that very well. There should be a formal process that says, you know, Susan Jones, you've really been outstanding.
Yes.
And we are going to give you special recognition.
Yeah.
And that way, you know, she can go home to her husband, to her family, to her friends, and say, gee, you know, they thought I did a pretty good job.
That's right.
Right.
That's right. There's a pride factor there. And, you know, it's interesting that we share all these stories. And I was reminded the other day of a chief legal advisor to a big firm. And I was talking to him, and he said, you know, I'm not really into recognition. And yet I looked around his office, and he had all these symbolic awards all around his office. And I said, well, then what's this for? And then he told me this beautiful story how he'd received this award.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, that's the thing, is that when there's a good experience around it, like Kevin brought up, and Governor, like when you talked about this human connection, then these symbols, these tokens, are no longer just a trinket. They actually are a symbolic gesture of what we just achieved. And then it has meaning, it has purpose. And really, that's what these service awards should all be about anyway, isn't it? I mean, people who go through and serve years at a company, it's not a survival award. It really should be a years of contribution award that really reiterates that, hey, you're part of our team, and this is what you've done to build our company.
I think that's exactly right, and that's why I get so upset when the focus is obsessed with money.
Yeah.
I do believe, in all honesty, I would like to see companies give much more in the way of stock options to all employees.
Mm-hmm.
I think ownership does a lot to drive productivity. And
yes.
Recognition, that's a form of recognition.
Yes.
The janitor who sweeps the floors plays an important role.
Yes.
And it should be recognized as such. And right now, I think because of the Wall Street mess, everything is askew. But when we settle down, and we will settle down, we're going to start to realize that every single member of our team is very, very important.
Governor, recently the USA Today had an article that said that several past governors of states are going to run again for office. Are you thinking of something? Would you like to make a public announcement today?
No. That part of my career is over. I've enjoyed it thoroughly. It was a great honor, but no, you're very kind. Oddly enough, I do know some of them that aren't coming back.
Yes, interesting, wasn't it? I found it to be interesting to see some of these people that say, hey, we've got to reclaim some of this craziness that's been going on, whether it's from a political standpoint or from a corporate standpoint, as you mentioned, this greed, this cycle of greed that has gone on to create this recession, if you will, this crisis of this economic crisis really is a crisis of greed, isn't it?
Yeah, we're going through the anger stage right now, and then that will settle down as we begin to sort it out, and certain people are going to literally be destroyed. This Goldman Sachs thing is immensely serious, and the ripple effect on that is going to be unbelievable.
Mm.
But I commend to everybody a wonderful book by Bill George called True North.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And you can take it both in terms of the business plan, but you can also take it in terms of being very personal. You've got to have a compass, and you've got to have a set of standards and moral guidelines and stay within them.
Mm-hmm.
And don't deviate. I mean, look at Paulson. You know, he made $1 billion, but he lost his reputation.
Yeah.
And he may lose well more. I don't know. It all depends on how these lawsuits unfold.
Yeah.
But I know one person who was disgraced, and I walked behind him as he came into a club, and literally nobody would pay attention to him.
Yeah.
They all looked down, they looked sideways, they looked away, they didn't want to touch him.
Mm-hmm.
Was it worth it? No. It's never worth it to lose your honor.
Yeah.
And I think what recognition is, it helps people stay on their true north.
Yeah.
It helps them stay loyal to the company and loyal to the vision of the company.
Well, before we take another break, perhaps first Kevin and then yourself, Governor, what would you recommend leaders and practitioners should be doing to convince those senior leaders, C-suite team, of the importance of employee recognition? How do we get them to get it?
Roy, I think one of the first things, before recognition programs launch, you've got to really look at how you're going to measure the impact of that, because the C-suite's really looking for the return on investment, and there can be many ways you can put your finger on that pulse. So I think to really take some discipline and be able to build out how you're going to measure the success of this, the impact on your business, whether it's associate satisfaction, your customer satisfaction, your turnover, your retention, and then you can quantify that into dollars that you're helping save the company or that you're helping add to the company's value bottom line because of the impact of performance you're driving. I think that's really critical. And all too often, recognition programs lack that, and then
right.
I think they lack the credibility at the C-suite level.
Okay. Governor, what is your comment on how we can
help? I think Kevin raised a good point. I was going to ask him if he can recall, what is the cost of a lost employee? Is it about 100% of salary for a year?
I've even seen sometimes, Governor, up to 2.5 times when you look at, the recruiting and the training of that employee as well.
Yeah, it really is. I sit on the board of a large mutual fund, and one of the things we measure every time is retention.
Yep.
And if we have changes in management, we sure as heck want to know why. That is very important because, boy, that downtime issue is enormous. Mm-hmm. And then getting a new person up to speed is a remarkable challenge. But suffice it to say, I think you got to figure you lose at least a year. So anything that you can do to make sure that people are working well together, get along with each other, have mutual respect. They don't have to be great friends, but there does have to be a culture of mutual respect. Once you lose that, you're going to start losing people, and you're going to pay a tremendous price on the bottom line.
Absolutely, and respect and courtesy and all those wonderful principles are really just foundational before you can even have any real recognition. Absolutely. Well, listen, it looks like we're due for another short intermission, but please come back for our final segment with our guests, Governor Arne Carlson and Kevin Cronin. For Real Recognition Radio, this is Max Brown and myself, Roy Sonderson, reminding you all to keep it real.
Whether the market's up or down, or if you're looking to improve your portfolio, our experts are ready to talk to you. Call now. Toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
How do you become one of the best companies to work for? By appreciating people for who they are and recognizing them for what they do. That's real recognition. 82% of employees say that recognition or praise they receive at work motivates them to improve their performance. And companies who recognize their people outperform companies that don't by 30 to 40%. Those are real results. Become one of the best companies to work for. The Recognition Management Institute can help you get the results you need. For more information, visit realrecognition.com. That's realrecognition.com.
Are you a wow? A wise, outrageous woman of a certain age who wants thrilling work, vibrant health, joyful relationships, financial freedom, and the new F word, fun, in the next stage of life? Join host Lynn Schreiber in the Wow Zone each week, where you'll meet amazing women who are creating lives filled with passion, purpose, and pizzazz. In the Wow Zone, broadcast live every Tuesday morning at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. Anything is possible.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.
You're listening to Real Recognition Radio with Roy Sonderson and S. Max Brown.
This is what recognition is all about, getting real results in the workplace through meaningful recognition solutions. Now, let's get back to the program. Here are Roy and Max.
Welcome back to Real Recognition Radio. Let's continue our conversation today with Governor Arne Carlson and Kevin Cronin, our guests today, and learn some final pointers on perspectives and trends in recognition. In fact, I know, Kevin, coming, you know, we've talked a lot about the cost of turnover in that last segment and the impact there. And I want to get your take on, from your role as the Recognition Professionals International, the president this year, what do you see going on there? And could you tell us a little bit more about your role there and what the organization does?
Recognition Professionals International is a very unique group because it actually has end users as well as service providers. So the ultimate goal of the group is to really have networking and sharing of best practices and really helping companies put together recognition strategies that will drive business results. And we offer some educational programming, and actually the only group that offers a certified recognition professional curriculum that, you know, I actually completed last year. I've been involved with the group for 8 years, and it's been a great resource for me to be able to network in the industry, but also be able to find out what struggles maybe we're having with a particular program with the client or when I was at the bank, and how we can get some creative solutions. So it's a great way to for those that are practitioners that are really wanting to learn and find out from others and network to join the RPI and to enhance your knowledge and learn how you can make your programs more impactful.
I think
I was wondering, Max, whether Kevin should just give the URL at this point just so people know how to get hold of RPI.
Absolutely. Great idea, Roy.
It is recognition.org, and we're also on LinkedIn and have a RPI roundtable that anybody can join there as well. So I encourage you certainly to check out both of those resources. And again, it's recognition.org for the RPI website.
Wonderful.
So, yeah, absolutely. And for me, it seems like, so for listeners today who don't think that their recognition is getting a good return, I think the bigger question is why? And it's not because recognition doesn't work, but perhaps it's because of the way that it's being executed within their company. You know, I think that's what RPI allows people to do, is to learn how to use best practices and really how to become much more effective at doing this, as you just mentioned, Kevin.
Exactly. And I think that the key to that is to really do an assessment of your programs, whether you've had programs for a year or 10 years, and to involve your employees and listen to them, what they like, what they see needs improvement on, as well as your leadership team. And those are two key elements that will ensure if you respond to those groups will help your programs improve and help engage your employees and participate in those programs as well.
So I know this is a bit of a segue with that, Kevin, but there's an interesting thing in the industry right now for those who follow the industry as we do. Amazon just announced, you know, that they're exiting the incentive award business, which is very interesting. And what's your take on that, and how is that going to affect the industry for those who want to get awards?
You know, I think for a company that uses recognition award program, it's a great opportunity if they were using Amazon to get better transparency in their pricing and offer better value ultimately to their employees and their shareholders. Now, I want to be the first to say I'm an Amazon user. I love Amazon. But from a business model standpoint, I think there's a lot more competitive advantages of why a large company or even a medium-sized company would want to go with a service provider and look for their solutions and get better pricing. Ultimately, that's going to be better for your shareholders and certainly get better value for your employees here as well. There's lots of different reasons why we've heard Amazon's left, you know, maybe trying to avoid paying taxes in states they don't do business in. Some that maybe didn't follow their business model where they can't target and market to clients, customers that may use their point-based program there. But, you know, they've made that decision now, but I think it's a great opportunity for the incentive industry to actually respond and be able to actually create more jobs and create more economies of scale for a lot of our clients that are out there today, and you know, ultimately be able to be more transparent and offer better value for companies as well as their employees.
it's interesting you speak of that transparency, and I think that comes back to what the governor was talking about earlier as well, you know, that even today, the transparency that forces us to play a better hand is out there. I mean, publicly, we can be people. The bad things will be revealed, essentially. And even in the recognition industry, the demand on the providers, the vendors, to be more transparent in their pricing and how they actually do business with others, I think is there. Those who actually are more transparent, more honest, more ethical, ultimately will do better business. And in the past, that might not necessarily been the case. People could hide behind some of their pricing strategy or even secret, you know, do different things. And I think that's very interesting.
Yeah, I think this actually will help the industry move forward and allow a lot of companies that have had some economic challenges to be able to really move forward and be able to grow and be able to create more jobs in our industry as well.
Yeah. Governor, where do you see this all going? What are people going to see in the future here?
I think the whole issue of recognition is going to be elevated to the boardrooms and to the top executive offices, because the issue of retention, particularly as you compete globally, is extremely vital. When you look at all the magazines, I just read an article in Business Week, I think it was just this week, rating the top 50 companies globally. And I think 25, I think for the first time now, the United States is in a minority. But one of the things they mention time and time again is the quality of management. Well, recognition is a part of how you determine the quality of management. You can't afford a high turnover rate and expect to succeed. You're always, it's like having a big anchor dragging behind you.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's imperative as CEOs and as boards of directors and as vice presidents start to look over their own growth, their own business plan, and their anticipated growth plan to figure out, okay, how do we do well in Latin America, in Africa, in Europe, Asia, et cetera, and handle all the issues of diversity, but at the same time get people to focus on excellence. Recognition becomes a key component part of that drive. There just is no way around. You can't just give to a bunch of people a baseball bat, some gloves and a ball and say, play baseball. You have to build a team, and companies basically are a team.
Yeah.
And you can't have a team without recognition. I mean, imagine if a baseball manager never recognizes players.
Yeah.
What the world would all the sports writers say about them?
Absolutely, yeah.
And it's not any different than a CEO.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a good analogy, Governor.
Yeah, it's a great metaphor. I love that. Roy, what's your take on all this conversation today?
Well, you know, as I listen to Governor Carlson and listen to what Kevin has given to us today, I'm really seeing a greater emphasis on the whole senior leaders' involvement. And I'm reminded, we're talking back in the 90s where it was a worldwide survey that was done when they asked what would make recognition programs successful. They asked CEOs, they asked VPs of HR, and 89% of them said senior leader involvement is what would contribute to success.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm finding very interesting is that even after all these years of research, here we are, you know, in the 21st century, and we're still saying that the senior leader driving recognition is a significant factor.
Yeah.
I think this is a significant issue right now, even, Roy. You mentioned a wonderful statistic. Towers Perrin actually did another piece of research that reiterated that research that you just cited with very similar outcomes. But the interesting things they asked the employee population, do they believe that senior leaders have their interest at heart? Only 38% said yes.
Yeah.
And, of course, this year it's even worse. A lot of people are actually feeling very abused. You know, we talked with some guys, Mark Hirschfield from Reengage, the book Reengage, a couple weeks ago on our show. He talked, you know, around the idea that people are actually feeling very abused at work right now. And beat up, and so there's a survival mentality instead of a thriving mentality, and they're just hoping they're not the next ones to be laid off, which, quite frankly, you know, laying a lot of people off kind of just shows
an unfortunate way of running the business as well, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, let me tell you, if I may, one quick story. Susan Marvin, War Road, Minnesota, small town in northern Minnesota, Marvin Windows, a real quality product. They had to go through all the problems that any other company did because they're in the construction business, essentially. And she brought all the employees together, and they all agreed we'd rather reduce our hours than lay off our employees.
Mm-hmm.
And year after year, that company has shared its profits with its employees. It is beloved in that part of Minnesota, absolutely
wow.
beloved. When she walks into the auditorium to announce a cutback, she gets a standing ovation. Why? Because every employee there knows that their job is vital, she knows it's vital, and that they'll retain their jobs, although they got to kick back in to the well-being of others.
Wow.
Yeah.
Governor,
know,
that's how
I
you run a company, as opposed to these firebrands that come in and just quickly, you know, we're going to slash 1,000 employees, that's it. There's no loyalty. If there's no loyalty, ultimately, I don't think you have a company.
I think you're right on there, Governor, and I think with that senior leader example, you've kind of left us with a final endpoint there, bookend, to kind of show what we should be doing. And this has been just a great radio show today, to especially have had you on board, Governor, with us today, and yourself, Kevin. We appreciate very much your points and giving us a real good perspectives and trends on the future of recognition. If people would like to learn more about what you do, is there a URL or contact information that either one of you would like to share with us at this time?
Roy, thank you. This is Kevin. Certainly from the recognition.org website, you can find my email as well as my cell phone number there as well.
Wonderful. Governor, is there any kind of contact thing, if there's a URL that you would like people to
have?
Well,
I'm on the board of Rideau, and if people want to contact Rideau, I would certainly be honored. But it's been a
Rideau, RIDEAU.com.
You got
Wonderful.
It.
Thank you very much for joining
Thank
us
you.
Today. Tune in for next week when Max Brown and I will discuss how to create more of about a positive workplace and positive relationships. Max and I welcome and encourage your comments and suggestions. Please feel free to email us at feedback@realrecognition.com. We certainly look forward to hearing from you, your ideas, your suggestions, and your questions. Thanks for listening to Real Recognition Radio. For more information about the Recognition Management Institute, you can visit us at www.realrecognition.com. Until next time, this is Roy Saunderson and my colleague Max Brown, remembering and reminding you to say, keep it real.
Thank you again for tuning in Real Recognition Radio. Please join Roy Saunderson and Max Brown again next Tuesday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel for more motivational tips to help your employees perform better. We'll talk again next week.